Schmidt, U.S. versus Schmidt. Ms. Perini. That was funny.
I'm sick.
Yeah.
Morning. My name is Joanna Perini, and I represent John Schmidt in this case. This case comes down to the simple fact that Milwaukee police officers trespassed onto the curtilage of John Schmidt's property with the explicit intention of searching for evidence. That is a search under the Fourth Amendment. And in this case, they didn't have a warrant, and the circumstances didn't meet any of the exceptions to the warrant requirement.
So isn't it clear that at least the sidewalk leading to the front door of the rear building was a walkway intended for public use? In other words, if paramedics or postal workers, census takers were coming to that building, wouldn't we expect them to enter through the front entrance off street rather than a back entrance through an alley?
It's our position that the entire fence backyard constitutes curtilage because the testimony was that both gates had locks on them that were generally locked by the tenants. And so, no, paramedics and other people couldn't get to that front door without a key to the lock. But even if that walkway is not part of the curtilage and it is an easement to the front door of the rear cottage, the area where Officer Kaya went to search for this gun clearly was curtilage of the property and protected under the Fourth Amendment. Where the gun was found is pretty clearly seen, I believe, in Exhibit 9 attached to the government's brief. It's an alcove in the yard on the north side of the yard, and it's protected by the house, a 6-foot privacy fence, and a 4-foot wooden fence running along the north property line. From the front door of the rear cottage, people couldn't see into that alcove, and it was protected from view from the front of the street, as well as fairly protected from the rear because
shared property.
Yes.
It is shared property,
many
yes.
People shared.
My client lived with a family member, and then his girlfriend and her mother lived in the upstairs unit, and then approximately 3 to 4 people lived in the rear cottage. So he was connected to all of the tenants in the front property, in the front duplex. The rear cottage were other people who had a lease with the
family. So those people could have allowed the police to search.
They could have, but the police never sought permission to search. If this was a case where the police had knocked on any of the doors to ask for consent.
But having this shared property, you know that your neighbors can give the police permission. And that diminishes your sense of privacy, right?
It does diminish it.
You wouldn't want to leave really private stuff, whatever that would be, in a shared yard.
No, but you still cannot have trespassers entering the yard without consent from one of the tenants. And that backyard was used.
But the question is whether there's a sufficient interest in privacy to require a warrant when the police are just looking in shared property.
And the district court decided it only on whether or not there was a reasonable expectation of privacy in the yard, which this circuit's never clearly decided whether a shared backyard. Whether or not there's a reasonable expectation of privacy. We submit in the briefs that there is, because particularly in this case, the tenants had taken steps with the landlord to protect the yard. The government makes a big deal out of these gang members that had run through the yard, but the tenants and the landlord had put up fencing and put up no trespassing signs and put locks on those gates in response to those trespassers.
But what about exigent circumstances? I mean, if we decide on exigent circumstances, we don't have to.
If you decided there were, in fact, exigent circumstances, the reasonable expectation of privacy and Jones, it doesn't matter which standard this court applies. But here, there was no exigency. The three times that exigency generally applies is when officers are entering a private area to give medical aid, when they're in hot pursuit of a suspect, or when they believe there's imminent destruction of evidence. This situation didn't rise to any of those.
Well, but they had just become aware that shots had been fired in that location. They had found a loaded firearm nearby. There are shell casings that are visible in the yard and on the walkway inside the yard. And there are bullet holes that were visible on the rear duplex. What do they need?
Well, the shooting had occurred 2 hours earlier, and now it had turned into an investigation. They had roped off the scene, and this was essentially a crime scene investigation.
If there were bullet holes in houses next to mine, I would want the police to be searching, right?
Certainly, and they could ask for consent to search, but all they could search for under exigency would be, is there someone in there who needs medical aid? That's what exigency would have allowed them in for.
How would they know such a thing? I mean, I noticed it in the brief. It said there were not even any moans. And all I could think of was, if someone is unconscious, they're not moaning. I don't know.
Even if the officer had entered to render medical aid to somebody that he didn't see from the outside, which there was no blood from the outside.
To render mental aid. The point is, there's been some kind of gunfight, and you don't know what's going on, right? There could be injured people. There could be gunmen wandering around. You just don't know. And I would think the neighbors, the other people here, they would want a heavy police presence after a burst of shooting, even if it is 2 hours later.
In that situation, the officers would be looking for a person, though. It would either be a protective sweep.
Mechanical about it. The point is, there's a lot of consequences that could ensue from a gunfight. So you want the police to be looking around and making sure that this isn't about to resume with more shooting, right?
Or find a body. You know, because here, assuming the officer was in the yard looking for victims, if he shines the flashlight in the corner as he's looking for victim and he sees something metallic, are you saying he should have waited next to the small pile of trash for a warrant before seeing what it was?
No, I'm saying that he could have easily determined that there was no body from shining a flashlight from much further away than when he shined the flashlight down into the pile of items, which was when he saw the metallic item. There's no testimony that he went to that back alcove to look for a body.
That's kind of absurd. I mean, what you're saying is a police officer say, well, I want to see if there's someone lying around here who's been shot, but now I have to calculate, you know, the range of my flashlight, and if I can see anything within the flashlight range, I mean, if I can't take a step forward before I've checked everything in the range of the flash. I don't know what you're saying.
The record's just devoid of him having any indication once he's in the yard of there being a body. The testimony.
What kind of indication do you expect?
Well, from a gunshot.
That's the moaning business, which sounds so ridiculous.
There would be blood. There would have been a witness statement.
It's at night, right? It's dark. Is it dark?
Yes, there's street lights.
See the blood.
Well, he was able to see the bullet casings and then still found no...
The bullet casing reflects light, right? It's shiny. The blood isn't shiny. Unless you have, you know, a whole pool of it.
It's our position that the testimony is fairly clear that when he went to the alcove, it was to investigate a bike because he thought it was suspicious. He didn't go to the alcove because he believed there was a body. He had already satisfied himself that there was no body. So the trespass into the alcove, we believe that the exigency or the possibility of exigency had ended.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Perini. Mr. Manning?
May it please the court, counsel, I am John Manning and I represent the United States. It is the United States' position that this court should affirm the district court's finding that there was no reasonable expectation of privacy in this yard. And in the alternative, we would ask the court to find that exigent circumstances justify the search in this case. If there are no questions from the court, I will submit on the brief.
Well, assuming the officer was looking for additional victims, how could a victim possibly be hidden under that small pile of trash?
Your Honor, I think looking at it as an objective, reasonable standard, what we have here, just amplifying on the facts, when the officers arrive on the scene initially, there are four individuals exiting from the front of that yard. When they talk to the upstairs person in the front duplex, that person reports that there is the sound of gunfire, there's the sound of people in the back, and the sound of more gunfire. When the police arrive at this scene, as Judge Rovner has alluded to, their investigation is expanding. They find both bullet holes in the rear duplex. They find bullet hole in the car, and they find cartridge casings. This is obviously indicative of shots coming and shots going. And looking at it from an objectively reasonable standpoint, it was objectively reasonable for Officer Kaya to go walk into the yard to ensure that there was no body, no injured person in that area.
Do we know how many shots were fired?
Your Honor, a total of 30 cartridge casings were recovered by police on the scene from four different caliber weapons. And that was both down at the corner of Orchard and 10th, as well as behind the rear duplex at 14.
Wow.
And then this business about the bike, which he says he was only going back there to look at the bike in the alcove. That's what counsel said.
What he said when he testified is that when he walked through the gate, which was open, that he was going both to look for injured people and to look for evidence. It is not unreasonable, objectively speaking, to go back into that area, which is clearly a pile of debris, and look around to make sure that no one is under that debris, that there's no evidence of injury or harm under that debris.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We thank Ms. Perini, and were you appointed? We thank you for your efforts.